Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Which is like, I don't care, whatever, you know, get over it. And then I realized that it was causing me to not be empathetic.
Maybe alcohol does that to you too. You seem to have lost a little bit of your environment last night. In fact, one of the strippers was like, my goodness, your wife is such a party animal. That's from a stripper.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark, 818-253-1693 for the voice messages. And, of course, all these great emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Buckle up, everybody. It's time for the great Susan Pinsky to join us once again after our field trip.
Thank you for having
me. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be here today.
Are you? Why?
Yeah.
Because?
I don't know. I haven't been here in a while. I really like it.
It's been a while.
Good. I know. I'm not as nervous today.
Good. Good. You're not going to be messing with your papers like I normally
do. I'm a little bit tired. That probably is.
Why is that?
Because we were up late last night.
Ah. So this now, people are hearing this a couple weeks after our field trip.
Okay.
So it was a few weeks ago. We had a field trip.
All right.
And tell us about it.
You tell me.
Tell us where we went, why we went there, what your sort of point of view was.
I don't know what you guys
was.
Talked about, so.
Doesn't matter.
Well, we had a beautiful dinner last night at a new steak place.
Mm-hmm. Another one.
Yeah, it was good. It was yummy. And then we went to the Roosevelt Room.
Why'd we do that?
I don't know. Because I booked it.
Andy's with the evil laugh already. We're exactly 1 minute in. And he's like,
and then there was this like interest all of a sudden to go to a strip club.
So there was no conversation about
all
that.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. Hang on. Don't worry, Andy. I got you covered. So there was no conversation about that before we got to
Well, at dinner, yeah.
Okay. And so what happened at dinner? What were we trying to decide between? What were our options
the
at
two different places to
two
go to.
Two different places?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Oh, two different strip clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was other things.
And I was actually kind of surprised, and I wasn't like fighting. I was just like, okay, whatever you guys want to do.
Well, we were talking about a couple of things, not just strip clubs.
Well, one
right?
of them, what we were?
We were talking about
why are you asking me? Just tell me what you want me to answer.
Just reviewing your point of view.
For Christ's sake.
And so then we talked about going to karaoke.
Right.
And we couldn't figure out where to do that. So we then started talking. Then we went to, you go, let's just go to the Roosevelt Room. I have a reservation there. So we walked over to the Roosevelt Room. And what did you think of the Roosevelt Room?
It was okay.
Did you have a way of describing it at the time?
No, because I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember.
It was kind of cool. I mean, it was.
When did you remember?
I don't know.
Hmm. Annie, how did she describe the Roosevelt Room?
Well, you walked in there and you said, "Man, this is so divey in here.
Such a dive bar.
I feel like I'm."
And you should know
like
that
back in the.
It was a super high end, exclusive, like craft.
That, well, maybe
drinks
because I expected
things.
More. You know,
right.
what I mean?
It was only the bougiest people in there, which so it was a super high end place. We didn't understand why you thought it was a dive bar.
I wasn't happy.
She expected more than the fucking 30-foot door that let us in with the.
I know, with the
security that meets us at the door.
Whatever. Anyway.
I have high expectations.
Okay, so
of
it
everything.
Didn't meet her expectations. Yeah. But then we got serious about strip clubs because we've been talking about doing that forever as a field trip for this group. Because we thought it'd be interesting content. We thought it'd make interesting.
Right. But you guys didn't do it because you were worried about how I was going to react to it.
No, I can't say that's why we didn't
well,
do
not
it.
You, but Annie.
Really?
Like,
Annie, is that why we didn't
go.
Do it before?
No.
I remember you saying something like, oh, you know, that's not the kind of place we should go to because it's not, you know, it's not really our for us or it's just not right.
I don't know what you are.
Why would
they
say that? That's no. Annie's. Do you know Annie grew up in a strip club? Do you know that?
I sure did.
Oh, good for you.
See, he grew up in a strip club. He grew up from the age of six on in a strip
okay,
club.
Okay. Okay. So, well, that explains a lot.
Explains
what,
a bit.
What does it explain?
Don't jump ahead. Let's go system piece by piece here. Okay. Well, I'll make a note about that. Explains a lot.
Okay. So wait. Now, just because I was a bitch about the Roosevelt Room, like,
okay, no big deal.
I'll go back.
We're just looking at everybody's experience of the evening.
But you guys kind of just threw it together, and then Nadav got the car, and we drove.
No, then we got serious about, we're going to do this thing. We're going to have a field trip, because none of us were super happy at the Roosevelt Room. It seemed a little too bougie.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the waiter advised us to go to some other place because he could tell we were just sort not of happy. Done with it. But then we had a choice between the two strip clubs.
Right. One was the one that we didn't want to go to.
Well, one was very nice and one was very not so nice.
No, you showed me pictures and I said, that one looks a little too Vegas-y.
Okay.
I didn't like that.
And Annie agreed with that, right?
Yeah, it definitely looked Vegas-y.
Yeah. You thought, no, too big. Now, in case I forget to mention this later, when we got to the place we eventually went and I was talking to some of the employees there, they were saying we should go to that other one.
Oh, really?
That's where we belong. And that this was not our place.
Maybe we shouldn't say that because you don't want to get them in trouble, you know?
No, this place certainly exceeded our expectations.
Right.
So we thought we were going to a very divey place, and it was kind of nice.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Yeah. And what did you think when you first walked in?
I mean, it was just a bar, and it had a lot of cute girls walking around in high heels, and very, couple of dancers. There were two poles on the stage, and they would like go in order, like they just sort of switch off. You know,
Stacy to the stage.
Very, very pretty women in there. I expected a little more trashiness.
Like, oh, so it was not that trashy. I agree with you.
No, they were all cute and good dancers too. Mm-hmm. Like they could really, you know,
work that pole,
run that pole. Mm-hmm.
Anything particular stand out to you?
Anything in particular? Like what?
I don't know. Anybody catch your fancy? Or
well, I mean, I kind of sat in a weird place. Like, I wasn't like sitting just staring at the girls. Like,
you weren't?
You guys were facing the girls. I was kind of sideways in the chair. And looking over my shoulder because... just because I felt like if I wanted to look at somebody, I didn't want to be just like staring at them and then have them seeing my reaction to them. Do you know what I mean?
No, why?
And then I was kind of watching you guys too, because I was still socializing with you.
Right. But how about the way we were staring at them?
The men went into a trance. It was cool. It was really cool. They kind of like, their eyes kind of went half like mass and they kind of sat back.
Did you join them in that trance at any point?
Of course. I wasn't watching every girl that came through.
At the beginning?
Yeah, because they were kind of young and really skinny and not really my thing.
Not your thing.
Like I was like, you know, kind of hoping that like, you know, more voluptuous women would pop up. But anyway.
Hoping, in fact, vocalizing it to Annie, who immediately went into action. Annie, what did you do when you became aware of that preference?
I mean, I just, you know, I'm Wingman City, so if you tell me what you want, I'm going to try to find it, you know what I'm saying? So
I just saw the hand go up, the hand movement, all of a sudden people were around us.
Yeah, I brought the
See, I didn't
I
see
waitress.
That. I did not see that.
Yeah, there was a...
He knew the
code, like,
there's like
I was
a code
looking,
in there.
Okay, so here's the stage right here, right? Mm-hmm. And I was facing this way and just looking over my shoulder to see what I wanted to when I felt like this pole, you know, was a little bit more visible than that one.
Right.
So I wasn't watching two girls at the same time.
Right.
And then you were sitting across and I could see you and I could look back and he was behind me, right?
Nope.
Was he over there?
Straight across.
Was he over there?
Okay.
Across. Well, I didn't see, I don't know.
All right.
I can't
so anyway,
remember.
So eventually.
You're asking a woman that was, you know, drinking heavily last night.
Interesting. And so eventually you changed position.
I did. I don't know. Somebody handed me some dollar bills, right?
That was like this?
Yes. And why didn't you have those last night? Did you get them back?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just wondering if that all looks familiar to you. So you had that, and what did you
do? Did I have this? Did I not throw this?
You had that, but go ahead, and what happened
to it? But why do you have it now?
Because I'm in Annie's house. Why do you think? It's like, what do you...
Did I miss something? Anyway, so...
Okay, so that looks familiar to you, right? You got that. That's what you got.
I did. I got
and
a lot
he gave
of
you
cash.
That. And he very, very
I know,
generously
and
gave
I would
you
have
that.
Paid him. I'll pay back.
Right. Don't pay me back.
And so you went, and then so once he gave you this, what happened then?
I approached the stage, right?
Yeah.
But I was more attracted to... the darker skinned women.
Okay, that's fine.
Then the, I don't know what the politically correct thing is on.
And so, Annie, what happened? You kind of hauled her ass up there a little bit, right?
Yeah, y'all were chilling, man. Y'all were sitting there just kind of like, oh, la-di-da, we're at a strip club. Look at the decor.
Yeah, these poor women aren't making any money. They're making any money. Yeah. You got to get some money going up there.
So. Right. No, but I wasn't attracted to any of them.
Yeah, but he pulled you up there.
Yeah. And then, so I am getting nervous now, like.
And then what happened?
I mean, I didn't run out of the place screaming, no, oh my no. God, oh, quite I'm the a contrary. Fat cow quite and the contrary. I hate my body.
No.
And I didn't have any issues with it.
No.
My hormones are working great.
Yep. So much so.
I was very excited to be there. Ah. I mean, I wasn't like, you know, that excited, but I was, it was fun. It was fun to be with you guys and see you guys all reacting to it.
So you went up to the stage.
I did.
And then what happened? Up
there? Why don't you tell everybody what I did?
No, I want to hear your experience with it. We've already discussed it.
I mean, I as a woman, was able to get up to the stage, throw some cash, and then touch the dancer.
Yeah.
Which you're not supposed to do.
Right.
I guess unless you're a woman.
Annie, how does that work?
Did I do something wrong?
Well, actually, I was wondering the same thing because I know it varies from state to state, from place to place. So I wasn't sure like what type of place this was going to be. But yeah, no, they were cool. I saw people touching all up as soon as they gave them like a couple bucks, which is not what I'm used to. I thought you had to throw a band or some shit.
Right.
Or somebody
at least get a dance.
Or there'd be like a guard there, you know, like keeping your hands behind you kind of thing.
Right.
But not yours.
No, I got to feel her ass and her leg, and she was very soft.
Yeah, okay. you beat her ass with a couple dollar bills. It was pretty nice.
I believe that.
I think I waved it over her coochie.
Very much like this. It was like you were sort of. Yeah. And then there was more though, right?
And then somebody said motorboater. Somebody said it.
That was me.
Annie. I didn't know. I didn't make the move. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to motorboater now. And he's like, yeah, motorboater. And I said, okay, fine. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I tasted her sweaty boobs. And and she kind of went, oh, gosh.
Really? Anything happened after that? Anything we should know about?
Tasted fine. It's fine.
Right. And then you sort of relax more up there by the stage.
Yeah.
Right. So you stayed there for about an hour.
I did not. It was not an hour.
Annie, how long was it?
We ran out of money, too.
So. Right. Pretty quick. You're throwing a lot of money at those
That was probably my favorite part is you did the classic mistake of
throwing
everything you had as soon as you liked one of them.
I was appreciative.
She just like put her ass in your face. You're like, here you go. Take it all.
Take my money.
I don't need
this
it.
This testosterone is ruining you. I'm telling you. It's
just... Well, you know, I only aim to please.
Okay, so you did. And,
all right, so then, you know, we sat up there and then another one came up, another African-American girl, and I liked her too. Mm. But Annie, I noticed, liked the really fair girls with blonde hair.
There were some particular ones you like.
Yeah.
So you got kind of relaxed.
Oh, so I did okay? Did I pick the right ones?
What do you mean?
As far as my choice.
There's no like right choice.
It's your choice.
Yeah, it's your choice.
Okay.
So you then got relaxed in the chair there, right?
Yes. Mm. And we ran out of cash.
Were you showing them your boots? Is that why your feet were up on the stage? Or what was that all about?
I don't remember.
You don't know about that?
No. Mm, you're making this up.
No, I am not.
No, you put
That's
your
feet.
No, they said they liked my boots. They did.
So your feet just stayed up there.
Yeah, so they said, hey, great boots.
So your feet went up.
See, now you're making shit up. No, they didn't say nothing like that.
Somebody
you were just
did
comfortable.
Tell me they liked my boots.
That was in the bathroom.
I was
in the bathroom with the naked chicks. You want to tell them about that?
Oh, yeah, it's really fun. You walk in the bathroom and everybody's like all pastied up and walking around in their little outfits and chit-chatting and it's fun.
And they liked your boots. But
they did.
The stripper did not like your boots. You just put your feet up on the stage.
Was she mad?
No.
I don't know, but I don't think a male could get away with that. It caught attention. Let's put it that way.
Well, I heard that it's okay. Women are allowed to.
Women are allowed to do fucking anything.
I think that's the point. And I think, did you have a sense that it was a relief for the strippers to be, you know, looking at having a woman look at them and work with them?
No, I really didn't like.
You didn't think about it.
I wasn't looking at their vibe, like what they were thinking. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I was just enjoying it.
They were just objects.
Yeah, I mean, they were just, titties. I mean, yeah. Listen, yeah, I was checking them out.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I know that's what they're there for. Like, it's not, you know, there to be, I know you probably, you were talking to some women and I want to know what they were asking you, because you're the only one who does a psychological profile every time you go into a strip club.
I don't really even do the psychological profile. They just start telling me.
So what did they tell you? I was curious.
Mostly that you shouldn't come to strip clubs. You should hang on to your money. Uh-huh. And but Annie says that's a technique. That's a technique they use to try to make you feel like you're not at a strip club, so you give them more money and sort of treat them like your friend.
Not necessarily make you feel like you're not at a strip club, but that they're not a stripper.
Right, they're not a stripper.
They're not your stripper. They're just your friend. They're talking to you like a homie.
Right, right, right.
Well, they're people. They're allowed to.
I know, but they're but any knows what's up there.
Right.
It's sort of a
technique.
Right. There's a technique, and they're nice. And she was saying we belong at the other place where we need to go.
Why?
Older
women?
No.
Old fat ladies like me?
everything little step up. And a lot of the ones that came in later were from that.
Oh, okay. So they, like Annie said, we had to be there later to see the more professional, or the more
in demand,
stage appropriate.
In demand. What's in demand?
I didn't say that, by the way.
The hotter ones, I guess. I don't know. Or the more voluptuous ones.
And Annie was actually calling those girls over for lap dances. We didn't know that. Remember, we kept saying that. And for some reason, what happened with the communication there? I guess it didn't go all the way?
I think it's because, you know, again, like in the beginning, at the very least, no one was really spending money at our table.
Yeah.
So if a stripper hears, yeah, could you go give that guy a lap dance that hasn't spent $1 the whole night? She's going to be like, yeah, okay, yeah. I'll get right on that, chief. Yeah.
Right. how much would it cost for a lap dance?
Oh, it's always, you know, dependent, but it's cheap, you know?
Like, okay.
$20, $50.
Well, I didn't get a lap dance, so.
Are you disappointed?
No, I tried.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
There's enough.
I didn't have any cash. I didn't know we were going. It was very last minute.
Well, I did send you one girl, actually, before you told me you needed those big-titted animals. But before that, I did send you one, and you said no, thank you.
Was she the one that said, do you need company?
No.
Which one was?
I was completely oblivious.
I don't remember how she said it, but
I mean, I was a little over, you know,
stimulated.
I was like overstimulated and just trying to figure out what I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to feel. And
yeah, I had to drag you to that stage. I had to literally like forcefully take your hand
pulled,
and then your
pulled
arm
the chair
and
over.
I'm like, come on, let's do this shit. You want
to? And I, as I explained to you and to the audience, I don't think I should be in the light, or I would have gone with you guys.
No, I get it.
I don't think I should be in the spotlight. Well, it's just weird.
You know,
my
point,
kind of add on to that point. Yeah, like I think that would be a reason to go to the other places. I doubt people are going to be doing that. Like,
oh my god, are you Dr. Drew? Right, right. I had a lot of that stuff. I had a lot of that stuff going on
at the other place. Yeah.
So there's less interaction with the dancers and the audience. They're all on the stage or something.
No, just that. Well, that too, but also it's just not that type of, this felt so much more public that everybody's just everybody.
Yeah.
When you're at another place like that, it's kind of like, look, your booth's your booth. You don't really look in the other, you know, booths or at anyone else
to see what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just not that type of vibe, you know? It's like,
and he was explaining to me that whatever was going on in the back there is where the sort of anything goes.
Right.
Did you see anything?
Yeah, I didn't look further than where I was.
Didn't even look.
No, because I know it's there, but I don't need, it's none of my business.
And then you full on fell in love with one girl.
I did.
You don't remember this?
The second one?
Yeah. The last one.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Nothing. It was just fun. She just had a nice ass.
Nothing. She means nothing. It's nothing, baby. I
don't
know this conversation.
Listen, it's not, I didn't go there to get a new girlfriend. Like, come on.
Just remind you of your old ones?
And you're trying to make this sound like so weird. Like,
no,
like
weird. I'm just asking questions.
I just did what I did. I don't.
So when you were sitting there going, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, let's go. Oh my God.
I love beautiful bodies.
It took me 10 minutes to get you out of the chair.
I know. I do love beautiful bodies.
10 minutes to get you out of the chair. And could barely get you to respond to me.
Why isn't Nadav here?
He would be piling on. Don't you worry. So we're just asking about your experience. That's all.
It was a good experience. It wasn't.
Would you go back?
It wasn't creepy.
I agree with you.
It was fun to do.
Would you go back?
I mean, if I was single and I was like,
oh, we shouldn't go back then. We should
no.
We shouldn't
I don't
try
think it's
Palazzo.
Something that we should do. Like, no, if I was like with a bunch of girls and whatever, like, and I was single, maybe, but I don't think it's really something we should do.
No more field
time.
Trips.
No, it was fun, and I get it. But you know, I just think that I had to see what it was all about. And it's actually less threatening now because...
That's why I figured you'd want to go back.
It's different when you're like...
I couldn't get you out.
When you're going to get married.
And then you were irritable and angry when you actually did get out. Because I pulled you from your
object. It was fun. I know, but it was late, so we had to go.
Right. So, Annie, you know what I'm talking about? Doesn't seem like she wants to go back.
I mean, when you guys were leaving, I was over trying to change or finish my tab.
Yes,
so
yeah.
I actually didn't see the end.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Drew's making a shit up.
No, I'm not.
So anyways, I brought my, if I was going to be a pole dancer, shoes, these, I got these in New Orleans.
Nice.
And I was really amazed at how these girls could dance like they did on those shoes, just like this.
Yes, yeah.
And I didn't bring this purposefully to show that I was going to become a pole dancer because I had no idea we were going to go.
And now you're going to announce
you're
going to
dance on the table. Now
yeah, but aren't they cute, Annie? When you, they're different than what they all had. They had like the
shoes, we don't get to the shoes.
The full
we don't,
sparkly.
We don't actually, our eyes don't get to the shoes.
Did you guys see, okay, yeah. Did you see their shoes at all?
No.
I did.
I know, but that's.
I bet you did.
I that was the first thing I saw. I didn't go straight for the pussy. I went for the shoes. That's
all right.
What it,
yeah.
But anyways, girl, they're very similar to these. They're mm-hmm. about this high.
Yep.
They're platforms.
Yep.
They're very beady and they spin around like, you know, dancers, which is, I appreciate.
You tried dancing on these in the middle of the street one night.
And I brought these, yeah, because there was a story of me falling in the middle of the street in New Orleans in a ball gown. And we've been saving it for the show. But to be fair, I was wearing these shoes at the time.
I can see why they would catch.
Okay, so basically if you hit anything with an edge, like a bumpy edge on it. So I was running for the Uber in my gown and flagging the guy down.
Running through traffic. running through traffic.
With a lime green dress on. So they all stopped. And I hit the little divider and they put this like weird little rough,
it wasn't
rocky
like what,
coat
it,
of whatever.
It
on
wasn't
it.
Like what Nadav witnessed here in Austin when she's completely splayed out.
That was a fall. That was a turnaround, hit my boot and just flew. Okay. That was a fall, but I had the same injury both times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I land the same way, but anyways, I hit the divider and I was like, Drew, I'm falling.
Didn't call my name. She did one of these. Boom, boom, boom. Slow motion fall. Slowly.
And I landed on the dress.
In the middle of the street. Flat on your face.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that was a good one.
I can't imagine pole dancing in these shoes. I just can't imagine.
Mm.
That is a talent. There's like little strings in my dress stuck in the beads. But yeah. So anyways, I want to just explain how difficult it is to be a stripper. And how the, that was the, don't be careful. This you're going to break the beat off.
Okay,
but yeah, so they're talented girls with dancing experience. They're very slim. They take good care of their bodies. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They have skills. I'm kind of told Paulina like her whole life. I hope just don't use these ice skating skills to become a stripper one day, please. That was like a running joke in our house because
I'm sure she thought it was funny.
Yeah. We used to always kid about it. Well, you know, hopefully that's the one thing she did not become, mm-hmm. but I understand how like Mary Carey, for example, is a friend of ours.
Mm.
She was a amazing ballerina. She became a stripper and, you know, did porn after that, obviously before she saw you. She just does like a few things, but I mean, I can see the power that they get because they make money and they're good at it and they're beautiful. And there's something really, it doesn't make me mad to see that. Like, I don't go, oh, where's your mother? You know, I'm more like, you know, this is something they're good at as long as they're
healthy. Did you see some of the dudes they had to interact with?
Yeah. But I mean, I was a hairdresser, okay? And I had to touch men's heads all the time. So it's not like, you know, I've given massages and washed people's hair and, you know, you deal with it. It's just a thing, you know? I mean, hairdressers have to do the same thing.
Sit in the
hairdressers
lap
have to give you lap dances.
I mean, when I'm cutting a guy's hair, he's like staring right at my boobs, right? And you know it. You can feel it. You know they're checking it out.
Yeah,
okay?
but they shouldn't be, though.
Right. That's what you're there for.
Yeah, it's kind of like the expectation when you're a stripper.
There's not a lot you can do when you're cutting somebody's hair and your boobs are right there. Like, that's just the way it is.
We are not going with your analogy.
I get it that they go a little further and there's a little more touching and a little more groping. But as far as, you know,
it's simulated sex acts they're getting into. It's a little different than cutting hair.
But they're like getting up on a pole and they're wrapping their legs and they're like spinning around. And that's not easy.
Didn't say it was.
You have to be good at, you have to be super athletic. And I appreciate that. I mean, I managed a group of 90 bikini models in 4 years for K-Rock. And I always told them, you know, please don't turn to the stage and bend over, because that's not what we're doing here. We're just models. You're going to model fashion. And I would try to explain to them that we're not, you know, this isn't a group of strippers. This was before strippers and fake boobs came into play in the early 80s. And I always appreciated them having, you know, beautiful bodies. And the men would get really excited. And it wasn't a lot of work. You just had to like put them in a cute bikini and they'd walk out on the stage. They didn't have to be solving all the world's problems. They just had to get in their high heels, walk on the stage and walk off. That was it.
Sounds like you're diminishing what they're doing.
No, but you have to be in good shape. You have to be hot. You have to be able to wear a bikini. You have to shave and do your hair and makeup. And it's like, I don't see I mean, this is just my personal opinion, and, you know, maybe I'm going to take a lot of shit for it, but this was before I was on testosterone, but I've always appreciated good-looking women, and I'm not trying to diminish the fact that they use it as a way to make money, you know, that doesn't, if you got it and you can make a living, I mean, go ahead. I don't like them getting into porn. That's not what I don't want to see that. It seems like everybody has been in porn or some form.
Any, what do you say to all this?
I say that you seem like you had a good time.
Yeah. I did.
I think that maybe you should go again on your own terms. You know?
I mean, not with any, without any teaching us, showing us how to go?
No, I wouldn't. No, but see, I don't want to go on my own. I don't have to. Like, I enjoyed going with you guys because...
We couldn't drag you out.
I know. I felt very comfortable there. I did not have a problem with it. Like,
You really did. You put your feet up.
Yeah. Everyone saw those boots.
Okay. Did they kick me out? I didn't do anything wrong.
No, women can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what was interesting.
I think my favorite part was in the beginning, before you were comfortable, you were so nervous that some dude came up and just like fucking rained money on the on the stage. You were out on the floor picking up
money.
The singles.
Like, trying to throw
giving
it
on the stage. Here you go.
I felt bad.
He's like, they got this. They can figure this out.
That's true. And you know what? I felt so... The one demeaning part that I didn't like was when the girls finished dancing and all the money was on the floor... And they had to get down in these fucking high heels, okay? It's hard to bend down and pick up dollar bills with those heels on. I'm telling you. And they were like scurrying around like, that's my money. It was like, it was sad.
I felt bad for them when they had to sit in the lap of the king above 18.
I didn't see that though.
And pretend they were into him as opposed to picking up dollar bills on the ground.
No, I know, but it just looked weird. It was like, they were kind of, it's like, don't throw it on the floor, like put it on the stage. So I was just like, here.
Did you have empathy for these girls?
Yes, on some level. I just don't think, you know, it's being a woman and trying to make it in this world is not always super easy. So, I mean, if this is a way that you're going to put yourself through college or whatever, you have that choice. You can make that choice. Men are very desirable of seeing beautiful women. It's a thing.
What,
you know,
were we saying about that? We were having a meal a few minutes ago. What was that, Zolo? You said that, or one of you guys were saying that you've known strippers who claim to be happy doing the career and find their way into other things, and yet, Annie, you were saying this.
I was saying that, I mean, you know, being raised in nightclubs that and a strip club that, you know, I had more of like a somewhat of a genuine friendship with them. I mean, maybe I was getting fucking
gaslit,
played, but I mean, I was a kid, so I don't know why the fuck they would play me. I didn't have money. But yeah, and I saw them grow up to like, you know, achieve stuff that some of them were going through college or whatever, getting out of debt or some shit that they were trying to take care of, buying cars. You know, all of them had
responsibly.
Like
responsibly.
But, in the long run,
a lot of them took drugs.
A lot of them took drugs. But in the long run, what happened?
I mean, in the long run, were could I say that most of them were happy? Probably not. Yeah. And but I don't know if that's stripping then as much as what got them into stripping.
Right. So we were talking about the fact that
they were already traumatized.
Right. And then the traumatized, you know, made the stripping boundaries less so. And then their choices in relationships later were still reflections of that trauma. Right. And so they end up unhappy.
No, I know. So that's like Mary Carey. And it doesn't mean you're going to be happy. Like,
well, Mary's had a lot of treatment. And so she's better with all that. You know, she's doing pretty good.
And I also don't want to pretend like I know every stripper's circumstances.
Yeah, no,
I mean, like some of them might have
we're just
through it and just hacking the system. That's
correct.
Great.
And I think it's maybe even more normalized these days than perhaps back when you were hanging out at the club as a 6-year-old. And you were talking to another
different.
You were talking to another woman that was with a couple. She was a boyfriend was with her or something. But what was her thing?
I have no idea.
You don't remember?
Mm-mm.
You had a long conversation with her.
I don't know. They got me all liquored up and then I was like completely just whatever.
So I
guess I wasn't overanalyzing everything. So there you go.
So when she fell in love with that second chick and couldn't get out of her chair and couldn't stop like staring and just repeating over and over again, look at her
ass.
She
was really cute.
Look at her ass. Look at her ass.
She was cute. She enjoyed it too. She was having a great time.
No, I don't think that's the last one. You were already up at the bar at that point because that was kind of a new one.
All right, Drew. Jesus. I think he enjoyed it too though.
And so there you
go. He enjoyed seeing that. You like to see that side of me, no?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting.
Okay.
I was fearful. I started thinking about the empathy thing, whether you were empathizing with these girls. And I thought I might want to test you on that today.
I mean, if other people were watching, do you think they were judging me?
No. At a strip club, you'd be kind of judge.
I know. That's the point.
Yeah.
You're supposed to let loose and enjoy it and not be thinking about it the next day. Like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, I was curious about, because when I came in, you were giving Nadav beard tips and just touching his face. You connect this.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? He needs to trim his beard a little bit.
Yeah,
like one side's got a good edge and the other one's got I was a hairdresser.
We had a whole disquisition on it during dinner. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about that?
Oh, we have, yes.
Was he insulted by that?
No, I wouldn't say insulted.
I'm just trying to help him.
I know.
He's lost all this weight. He doesn't need to cover everything up.
I coached them up, and I said that you're really good, that I used to resist your input, too, and it's always really good, and it's right, and they should listen. It's to his detriment if he doesn't listen.
I mean, listen, it's not that much work to make a straight line on both sides.
But I thought I might do a little test on
and
you.
And he's like a visual person. He does television. I mean, he should be able to see that. But I guess our eyes are a little off, so like when you shave this side, you can get it right, you can't see it as well.
We discovered, this show, we learn a lot about each other on this show, and we discovered, I guess it was last week, Annie, that Nadav has a little autistic traits. He used to collect business cards.
Okay.
Business cards as a kid.
Okay.
And he doesn't like loud noises.
Okay.
And he has trouble with certain social cues and stuff like that.
Oh.
So he compensates for it quite well.
So that's what it is.
So we learned a little bit about that.
Is it really autism? What the hell?
Nadav is going to cut all this shit out.
you better not, asshole. No, it was not, because it's the same stuff we talked
you
about
said
when
it,
he
I
was
didn't
here.
Say it.
It was stuff we talked about when he was here. It's not, and I said, I'll say it again. It's not autism. It's these traits, and we all have these different little traits.
Yeah, right. I have ADD, so.
Well, I wanted to test you for some of your traits. That's what I wanted to get into. And I really want to stay positive on all these things is that, you know, we talked to the psychopath guy the other day. And
right.
Even those traits worked for him. You know, there's traits that are out there. They don't have to be all bad. You know, if you get a disorder where it makes you not function right or hurt people, that kind of thing, well, that's a little different, right?
Right.
But these are just sort of traits. So I'm going to ask you some questions, okay?
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Do you repeatedly lie or trick others for your own gain or pleasure?
No.
Never. Is that always, often, sometimes, rarely? Never. Rarely.
Let's see. for my own gain or pleasure.
When's the last time you remember playing a prank on someone?
That maybe went over, was seemed a little harsh. Or you didn't tell somebody something, you know, cover for something.
Like white lies or whatever. Yeah. Is it better not to upset them or whatever?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
All right. Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. There's a sometimes. Do you act impulsively?
Often.
Often. Do you fail to plan ahead?
No.
Never.
Rarely.
Rarely.
I'm not going to say never, but rarely. I always try.
Do you consistently fail to fulfill work obligations?
No.
Didn't send those commercials in, forgot to send the ads in.
No, I sent them in.
Eventually, but... No, sometimes.
I sent it rarely. In. It just didn't upload all the way, and
let's
it looked
it,
like
let's
it,
give it a rarely.
No,
give it a
rarely. Yeah. I'm good at. I do that.
You usually.
I raised three kids, and I know, put
you are good
private
at
private school. And
you are very good at it, and occasionally, just like boom, it just doesn't happen all of a sudden. So that's the difference between always and, you know, whatever.
No,
do you consistently fail to fulfill financial obligations?
No. We have different timelines. You, Nadav will say, "I need it in a week," and you're like, "It has to be done now."
Yeah.
Like. Emailing him, when does this have to be done? Like, nope, now. That's different.
Okay, go back.
Working
up.
For you is impossible.
Up. Let's do that. Never. Let's do never.
I mean, I'll say rarely, just because.
No, let's do never.
You know, I don't.
I feel like I'm leading the witness. Let's do never.
Yeah.
And then, do you consistently fail to fulfill the financial obligations? Jordan wouldn't have to bring you the bill for the dog groomer or the gardener.
No, he's like you. He's up my butthole.
She wouldn't say that. She wouldn't remember.
No,
that.
I pay everybody off. I do all the. I pay okay. all the bills.
All right. So
never.
So never. Okay.
I always pay the bills.
Have you ever engaged in criminal behavior?
That to me is a different question, though. That's like more of financial obligations. Like, do you go to work and pay for your family and do whatever?
However you
so I can't.
It. However you interpret it.
I mean, how can I? I didn't have financial obligations, but I pay the bills.
You don't fail to fulfill stuff.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Jesus.
I have you ever engaged in criminal behavior?
No.
Never done an illegal drug or anything?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Rarely.
Okay.
That's a rarely.
Do you find yourself unable to sympathize with others dealing with difficult situations? Empathize. I'm sorry. Like, do you if other people...
Rarely. I can't say never because you can't always be perfect. You know what I mean?
You just told us how last night you weren't feeling empathetic to them.
That wasn't what I was there for.
I know.
Feel you guys
empathetic.
Didn't say, hey, I want you to go in there and put yourself in these girls' shoes.
I didn't say you should feel empathetic.
I'm not saying that I would never be a stripper. Like if I was young and, you know, nowadays it's like everybody's a stripper. Everybody's in a porn. Everybody's got an Instagram live. Everybody's got that, right? I'm not saying I wouldn't have done that if I was a really good dancer. I was a shitty dancer. So, you know, and I was a bikini model. I wasn't that far away from what they did. I know what it's like to be treated like that. And it didn't ruin my life, you know?
If you hurt someone else's feelings, do you lack remorse or guilt?
Yes.
Always?
Yes.
Okay. You lack remorse or guilt?
Wait, lack? No. I always lack remorse and guilt.
You always feel remorse or guilt. You don't lack it.
No, I don't lack it.
Yeah, so never.
Never.
Okay. Are you aggressive?
Often.
Do you engage in...
I was going to step in for that one.
Thank you. Do you engage in unnecessary risk-taking or dangerous behavior without regard for safety or self of... safety for self or others?
Drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Do you consider yourself superior to others?
No, rarely.
Rarely. Do you...
People think I feel that way, but it's more of an insecurity than it is an actuality.
I would say whatever you do to yourself, you do to others.
I remember when I started, when we moved in together, and the nurses used to think that I had an attitude, like I was better than them. Mm-mm. But I don't think it was that. I think it was just... I was kind of insecure and
It's often the way it is, and people feel aloof. You feel when you're
I don't feel superior. I don't I feel very
I actually got that when I was in first year of medical school, and I was shocked. I'm like, I'm just shy.
I'm not as bad
nervous.
As you. You have like you feel like dog shit all the time. Like I'm more in the middle. Mm-hmm. How did I answer it?
Let's go back up. About the superior thing. So it's sometimes?
No, superior is a weird name, though. Mm-hmm. Wait, word. Here. It's not, no.
How about this? Do you ever feel like your opinion makes more sense than others, or
no.
Like the other people don't get it, you know?
No.
So rarely.
I'm so in the middle, and I'm willing to listen to both sides. I'm cool. Right, Drew?
Yeah. Do you use charm?
What are you going to find out? I'm a fucking sociopath.
Do you use charm or wit to manipulate others for your own benefit?
For my own benefit?
Yeah,
no.
If it suits you.
No. Not for my own benefit.
So why do you do it?
There's a art of persuasion in this world for me. Like I'm not going to say I manipulate or charm.
That's what persuasion is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
For maybe my own benefit, their own benefit, just to be persuaded. I don't know.
So sometimes it's your own benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes.
I mean, I guess. I never really thought of it for my benefit.
Hmm.
Like yesterday, Jordan had to take the car in, mm-hmm. our really old beater car, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, they want $5,000 to put the, you know, the new timing belts mm-hmm. and the, you know, all this stuff. Like it was like $2,500 just for the upgrade, you know, and then $2,500. And I called her. I said, I said, Jordan, let me call her. We don't need to spend all this money on this old car. I go, I'm going to handle it. So what I did is I called her and I had a long conversation with her. And this is my dad coming out because he mm-hmm. never fixed anything. Mm-hmm. He fixed everything himself. He said, you know, you take it in, they charge you money, but you don't have to have the oil change every. So I talked to her and it took like 10 minutes. And I was like, so how many miles versus how old the car is? What do I need to have this done? They said 135,000 miles. Well, I only have 120,000 miles. I go, I got another 15,000 miles to go. But I was manipulating her to give me the information
sometimes
for my own benefit
sometimes.
Of saving $2,500.
We're not judging.
That I'd rather put down
we're not
in
judging.
A car.
Look where you show up. You show up very low on the scale. Okay. You feel better.
Thank you, Jesus. No, listen, I run a corporation.
I know you're good.
I'm a real estate person.
We're just examining
I make podcasts.
I
run
do we
your
have a
life.
Defensiveness
I do,
scale?
And
get a
I
scale
use the art of persuasion to get myself through a day mm-hmm. because if I sat around going, oh, I'm going to just be so nice today and mm-hmm. make everybody happy, mm-hmm. then nothing would get fucking done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, Annie?
Yeah, I like this. This is hype.
I'm going to start a new career.
What are you going to do?
These are going to come in handy.
Is it on the street or on the stage?
Oh, yeah.
So, why is there a bobblehead doll in one of those shoes?
I don't know. Because you liked it. Look.
All right, let's go to some
drdrew.com/shop.
Let's go to some emails and voice messages. We get to work here.
And we got the Clown Posse to start their own bobblehead collection.
The ICP is going to have bobbleheads because of Susan. All right, here's an interesting. I have a dangerous addiction. When I am in a situation where I can sneak a photo or video up a woman's skirt, I have filmed most of my female friends changing, showering. When I'm out in public, I see a short skirt. I will try to find a way to get a quick picture. Whoa.
That is not dangerous. That's illegal.
Yeah. At some point, I pushed past the self-imposed rule, and I kept going. I've done a lot of self-reflection and come to the conclusion I'm addicted to the excitement, adrenaline rush. I have been doing this for 15 years, never gotten caught. Sometimes if I masturbate before going out of the house, it helps me push past these impulses.
Oh, wow.
You said you were impulsive on your thing. Do you have to masturbate to get through the impulses?
No.
No. So there's a way. This is why I think I'm addicted to the rush as to the sexuality. This sounds correct. I'm terrified I'll get caught, lose my job, blah, 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 blah. It is easy to decide to quit when I'm at home on the couch, but much harder at the moment when some lady comes across the aisle from you bending over in a miniskirt.
So weird.
For some background info, I did see my parents having sex once as a child. I can't help but think this had something to do with the voyeurism. So voyeurism, in my experience dealing with it, people often have it sort of sort of scorched into their brain by some experience when they're a child, like what, like seeing your parents have sex. Or I remember one guy like looking at his neighbor across, he'd got binoculars and he was looking at his neighbor through a window, and that became his thing and all the time. Let's see, I assume you're going to suggest therapy, but I don't really want to admit to past, current, and future illegal acts, even at the privacy therapist office. This is also the only aspect of my life I don't share with my wife, which doesn't feel great. Any advice would be great. Escape this habit. We much appreciated. Touch my camera through the fence. Not you. if you can spot it, right?
Yeah.
Funny. I joke, but please help.
I know.
So this is unhealthy sexual behavior. You're going to need, really, I mean, if you want help, it's SA, it's SLA, it's sex addiction treatment. You can go to meetings. You know, they're anonymous. People talk about all kinds of behaviors that they want to stop. You don't have to be explicit. You don't have to self-disclose to the point where you can put yourself in harm's way, but you can get some support and some guidance at an SA meeting. You can go there now on Zoom. They're available all the time. Did this guy say where he's from? Do we have any ideas, Olo? I know you like this.
No, he kept it very anonymous.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't post it. You know, that'd be even worse.
Post the pictures? No, this is all bad. This is illegal. This is totally inappropriate. There's nothing okay about
it. These are
this.
Like average woman walking down the street that doesn't deserve to be manipulated.
Right.
It's just like, he's uber aggressive little pervy.
Yeah, but what does it feel like for a woman to be objectionized?
I mean, if they don't know it, it doesn't feel like anything.
Let's say you found out this happened to you. What would it feel
like? I'd kick his camera through the fence.
Because it felt like what?
I don't put up with that crap.
It just felt like a violation of some type. Yeah.
I mean, I never had a Me Too moment my whole career as a bikini person because people knew.
You kicked their camera through the fence.
Yes, yes.
So, there's a place in Los Angeles called Center for Healthy Sex. You can look it up online, Center for Healthy Sex.
No offense. Thanks for writing in and opening yourself up to us.
Yeah, he knows.
I mean,
that
is really hard. And
no, he knows it's bad.
I'll just tell you, if I met you and you did that, you would.
He knows it's not right.
He
knows he's in trouble with it. But it is an addictive compulsive behavior, and it does require treatment for the kinds of behaviors that people lose control over. They can't control. That's why you have these treatments. And the Center for Healthy Sex also helped break down what the denial system is that is sort of locked in place that keeps you in this system with this behavior. You got to do something. You're going to get caught. It is going to be a fucking disaster. And you're going to have to tell somebody. And I would do talk to the therapist. Like, look, this is behavior that is questionable legality. If I tell you, are you going to have to report it? I don't think this is a reportable behavior.
No.
And I might add too.
Yeah.
I know it's a little sketchy, like the lines, but it's something that you can also, every type of like fetish or kink or obsession or whatever is something that you can explore with whoever you're with. You said you have a wife. There's some type of thing that you could do to
ameliorate that.
Yes. To satisfy that need that doesn't have to be going out and doing this illegal, nasty shit.
Interesting.
Right.
And it will start with therapy though. So that whole like, oh, I don't want to tell someone. Too bad. Nigga, like, figure it out.
Yeah. You just did.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Right. You just did. There you go.
Yep.
Do it again.
Is my brain...
I want to know more about Annie's...
His fetishes?
How did he get raised in a strip club?
We had this whole conversation before you got here. So,
in Orange County?
Go ahead. No. In Hollywood. Go ahead, Annie. Tell.
It was just that my dad owned a nightclub and then a strip club. And I was raised like, you know, I was in the fucking VIP rooms in the back. I knew all the strippers' names and shit. It was,
right.
I was like one of those.
Like your mom, you know?
Like my mom.
Like they're
mom's friend.
Like they were like my stepmoms, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Type of thing. I mean, I remember saying that, and my mom's really, she made
pissed.
A note. She's like, never say that shit again. Like,
no, but I mean, it was like a mother image to you.
It
like,
was.
Kind of
okay. Yeah, they kind of took care of me in a way, yeah.
And his parents split, and so when he'd spend time with dad would just take him to these clubs with him.
Okay.
And
good job, daddy.
Yeah.
And so he's very, you notice how familiar he was with the environment. He knew exactly what to do.
I wasn't paying attention to his suave abilities.
It wasn't suave. It was just, it was like speaking a fluent language.
No, I get it. But then maybe that's why you were kind of against this from the beginning. You know, you were like, do I look like a, you said this, you said, do I look like a guy that goes to those clubs? And I was like, no.
No, I said that because you guys kept saying, I'm sure you know where the strip club's in town. Do I look like a guy that keeps going out to these?
But you
I
don't know. But Drew knew that about you before.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
Yeah, no, he just discovered just found that. Out. Yeah, this last episode.
No, you don't need to go to a strip club to find a woman. You're hot. You're going to be fine.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Mm-hmm. And I had fun with you, and the party's over. It's now back to reality, and I wasn't disgusted or shamed or weird.
Well,
you
keep saying that. No one anticipated that. We wouldn't have taken you if you.
No, I know. But the last time I went, I freaked out.
I'm not sure what that was.
And even. I didn't get all. I wasn't emotionally really getting into it because I wanted to not. You know,
well, you were emotionally getting into it just very differently than the previous time 30
years
ago.
Well, Drew gets jealous if I'm sexually attracted to anybody but him. If I say, oh my God, she's hot, he'll be like, what?
No, I'm not sure.
Turning the tables.
Yeah. You usually get jealous of stuff.
I do.
The old manipulating for your benefit.
I guess.
Always. Always. Change that score.
Let's change that score.
And he hasn't been doing that this whole show? Like,
no, I'm just doing a hosting thing. I know. I'm trying to figure out what's interesting.
You're trying to get in my head. But I had a good time. I woke up at 3 a.m. horny, and you were awake for some reason, and it worked out perfect for you.
It didn't seem like that's what you were waking me up for, which was confusing to me.
Yes, it was.
No, it didn't seem like it. It eventually was, but it didn't seem like it.
No, I fell asleep when I got home. So
well, you got to let her know that you're cool with CNC before she's going to do something like that.
I got up.
Right.
Yeah, I got up and brushed my teeth and washed my face.
It seemed like you were feeling guilt.
For what?
I don't know. It felt like
that. That was not guilty sex.
Okay. Okay. But before
that. It worked. Okay. Let's just say it worked.
It worked?
Seeing all those beautiful women worked.
The foreplay.
Okay, good. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Even though I passed out when I got home and I had to brush my teeth at 3 a.m, I said, hey. And he goes, I can't sleep. And I said, okay.
No, I said, thank you for waking me up. I had just fallen asleep after lying there till 4 a.m.
And well, why is that?
Because of alcohol. Alcohol really screws me up now where I can't sleep every time. That's why I resist drinking is because I don't sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
It really messes me up. So, and I hate that. I hate it. It
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Ugh. And so whatever, that was it.
But you went to sleep after we had sex.
And still laid around for a while.
Really?
Yeah, I
told you to pretend.
I pretended
you were
as you told me to pretend you're going to sleep because I'm going to sleep. So I need you to pretend. Again, always manipulative to her own benefit. Always. We also found that she lies on these tests. So
no,
it's interesting.
No. That's what my mom used to tell me when I couldn't sleep.
Didn't it piss you off then?
Like ADHD or something.
Yeah.
And she'd just close your eyes and pretend you're asleep. And it worked. And eventually you fall asleep. But if you sit there and think about it, you know, I can't sleep, you're not going to fall asleep.
Hi, Drew. I've got a question that I'm sure other ex-tards have wondered. What are bar tards? Well, for a couple of years, I was taking around 10 to 16 milligrams of Xanax per day. When I tried to stop, I had seizures, decided to go cold turkey. I spent a few weeks of detoxing. At one point, I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or awake. That happens. Pretty cool guy moment in my life. It's been about 4 years since I stopped taking them, but now I have quite a bit of social anxiety that I previously didn't have. Interesting. And are there ways to minimize the anxiety or am I forever cool guy? I smash your face. What is that? I smash your face?
Oh, that was a new one. That was station guy. I don't think we... Wait, have we showed him?
I think we played that for you.
I mean,
several months ago.
Yeah, it was the guy that kept saying, hey, man, whoa, so you want to touch me?
Oh, yes, that guy. Smash your face. Yes, yeah, the guy behind the register.
Smash your face.
That's right, that guy. Good for my brain-broken friend, Josh, that he remembered that one. The Xanax at that level, getting addicted to that point, can leave your brain with some residual kind of irritability, let's say. And so now you have social anxiety. You should be in some sort of therapy because whatever got you so strung out on Xanax still needs some ongoing care. And there's medication, not a benzodiazepine medication, like things like Zoloft and Celexa, things like that are good for social anxiety if you want to try that. But I think it's just you're not getting quite enough treatment right now. You've sort of done this kind of, sounds like you've been doing it mostly on your own. What are you writing down there?
Just to remember who called, who.
The notes on who we're talking to. Give me a voice message. Let's do some voicemails.
Hey, Dr. Mommy. I'm a 39-year-old male, and about a month ago, my girl was, giving me that two-handed double Gluck Gluck 3000. I mean, she's really going to town. It was amazing. And then when I finished, I had this real bad crick in my neck. Mm. And when I woke up the next morning, I noticed my face had all gone all retarded. So I go to the doctor, and I find out I have Bell's palsy.
Oh, yeah.
So now I've got to wonder, is it because she did such a good job?
No.
That, I don't know. She sucked me into a stroke.
Yes. Well,
I guess just let me know.
Yeah.
Give her credit where credit
is due.
Yeah.
Bye.
She broke your brain. Your facial nerve got squeezed.
He probably was like,
and he squeezed it.
I had a Bell's palsy once, so I know what it is.
Yes, you did.
I had it while I was pregnant, and I was 33 weeks pregnant or something. And I was huge. I was just like this big cow woman. And all of a sudden, I was singing a Whitney Houston song because I sang to the babies when they were my, when I used to have a high voice and I could sing Whitney.
Before testosterone?
Yeah. I can only do Elvis songs now. But anyways, suddenly my arm started getting numb and I felt a little weird and I called you and I was like, my arm is getting numb. And he goes, oh my God, you're having a stroke. So I ran to the hospital and apparently...
Don't you like how they always make us sound fucking stupid? Always.
No, it sounded terrible. I was really worried because when you have three, she had three vascular systems. So she was vastly overexpanded.
I had 50 pounds of baby inside my uterus.
Yeah, she was overexpanded. And then God knows what that does to the cerebral vasculature.
I'm just saying that whenever, if your girl's ever talking about you, you ever notice?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, I think you're having a stroke. Yes. Like, why do they always fucking say it like that?
Why do they have to say,
They always make us sound so fucking stupid.
Yeah. No, he would always say that all the time anyways. Yeah. The kids were having strokes all the time. Anyway, so he was right. It wasn't a stroke. So we went to the hospital.
I said it's either Bell's palsy or a stroke. Then so we got to get checked out.
Did you say Bell's palsy?
Because you kept talking about the arm, and I'm like, well, that's got to get you.
Or a heart attack or whatever. And so here I was in the hospital. They gave me steroids, and like half my face didn't work. And I had to like tape my eye shut, and I like drooled. So I was like, I'm going to give birth to these babies and be like, you know, the Hunchback of Notre Dame dragging my legs.
Then you would not have liked going to those strip clubs. Then you would have had some notes, some feelings. Do you think the testosterone have changed your ability to go in there and, you know, how you related to that environment?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me.
I mean, I appreciate men so much more than I did because I understand what you guys have to contend with all the time because you have a need for sex. And I happen to be the same way because I'm on high levels of testosterone and estrogen. But it feels great. I love my life. I love the way I feel. And I'm not, and I've never been, like, I've always been a sexual person, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways, it wasn't just then. Like, before I met you, I was a sexual person. While we dated, we had great sex.
But it sort of changed the emphasis or the
and also
perception of it or something.
Post-menopausal women aren't as bitchy as they are before menopause.
Wait. Post-menopausal? To each other?
To everybody.
Oh.
I mean, I found
other women.
I always like being around older women because of the catty shit that the younger women did just because they're, you know, they're menstruating and stuff. So after I had menopause, it, you know, and then I started going on these bioidenticals, it just changed my personality. And I think that, you know, women are extremely picky about stuff before menopause and very evolved. And then after that, they get kind of nice and, you know.
So it
But I mean, I was pregnant with triplets. So
right. So post-menopause on testosterone, that nicer.
I think post-menopausal women are much calmer and nicer to each other.
But
and
then
everything.
Testosterone sort of makes them a little more aggressive.
Well, you know, they don't want, the sex drive kind of runs out.
Goes and away,
The men have to take a lot of crap from them because they don't want to have sex anymore. So,
right.
So, I mean, I was just really happy that in my lifetime, there was a remedy for this kind of situation. Because I love sex and I love being with you and I love, you know, talking about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't mind.
I'm just trying to get for people, because we get a lot of emails and stuff about this topic when you bring it up. And so I'm just trying to nail down a little bit the difference that testosterone has made for you specifically,
oh,
not
it was
just
like,
in terms of sex drive.
It was like, it was better than antidepressants.
So your mood was up.
Oh, I felt
somebody asked last week about how you, your body felt or looked different?
Oh, I know. I lost like 10 pounds. I worked out. I started building muscle mass. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, good, it just felt so good and mm-hmm. happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's, women's biology is very complicated and our mood is very dependent on where we are in our cycle, in our life, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I'm just really glad I'm over my period and I'm over all that stuff and I can just, you know, wake up the morning happy. And so, I just have again, to take I, like I four pills and I'm good.
Just want to nail it down a little bit. So the testosterone, you're nicer postmenopausal, but the testosterone makes you a little more aggressive. So the aggressiveness though doesn't.
I noticed that if I had too much testosterone, like at the beginning when they started giving to me, they gave me too much. I didn't have any feelings for other people. Like they would say stuff and I'm like, ah, get over it, you know, and I never did that before. So when I got my testosterone in the right levels,
then you were more sociopathic.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. It hit, I had a Hitler streak in me. And
Hitler. Hey, Hitler. Hitler streak.
Yeah. I was just like, I don't care, whatever, you know, get over it. And then I realized that it was causing me to not be empathetic.
Maybe alcohol does that to you too. You seemed to have lost a little bit of your environment last night. In fact, one of the strippers was like, my goodness, your wife is such a party animal. That's from a stripper. Yeah, amongst all the four of us. Annie, you didn't rank. Susan was the one that stood out as somebody out of control.
I'm sorry.
Damn, she's a party queen.
Thanks for telling everybody that. I feel much better about myself.
I'm
now.
Just saying.
Why did I fucking come here?
Well, how dare you? How dare you? We got more people to help. Let's do some more voice messages.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's hey, Dr. Some... Drew. Hey, the boys. So my girl and I had a few bumps in the road in the past, and when we came back together, she expressed that she's been with someone else. And evidently, this guy was basically like the bee's knees and had a huge Sasquatch dick.
My bad, bro.
I've never had any issues in the past with my size or, you know, having an erection or sustaining an erection or pleasing or whatnot. But now it just seems like I can't get bricked up like I used to, and I can't even sustain an erection, whether that's being like within sex or just trying to jack it. And I have mental boners. It's just, that doesn't really translate over to my dick. So any help on this would be appreciated. Ta-ta, retard.
What do you think?
It's a very personal thing. He's hurt because she had sex with somebody else.
This one really castrated him. Mm-hmm. Like so much so he's lost his ability.
Why did she have to tell him he had a bigger dick than she did?
That's, you know? It seems like that was some
that's
sort of
mean.
Extremely mean. Thank God you got rid of that person. But, you know, you're one good relationship away from regaining your confidence again. Sometimes using we did a whole episode on PDE5 inhibitors a few weeks ago. And sometimes taking those medications can, you know, if your doctor thinks it's appropriate, get you over the hump so you can build your confidence back on. They don't need them anymore. Something like that. It is all anxiety. It is all feeling diminished.
Did that ever happen to you?
That somebody said something like that?
Yeah. That it changed your sex drive or your ability to get hard?
No, I can't think of a time that happened. Why?
I just said on YMH the other, like an episode ago that I did.
It happened to you?
Yeah, yeah. It was my first. Mm. She said I was that I was small. Turned out that it was wrong, but
turned out she was lying. Yeah, trying to make you feel bad.
She literally was. She yeah, literally I know. Was. I know. Because I didn't like her. So
right.
And I tried. I tried to like her, but it was obvious that I didn't. So she said that to me, and yeah, that fucked me for years. It's. I mean, honestly, to this day, sometimes it comes back. Yeah. It comes back.
So women can really hurt men. Yes. Really hurt them.
I never said that to anybody.
Yeah. It just can. It just
even
it,
if they had a really small dick,
but it doesn't. That's not the only
I
way they
still
hurt
was
us,
friends with them, and you it, know what I mean. I appreciated their friendship.
Just the point is, women can be awful to men, and they don't. Yes. I don't think they realize
pre-menopausal women.
I don't think they realize it how much they destroy them sometimes.
And then postmenopausal don't want it anymore, and they become lesbians.
Yeah, it happens too. And you know what I'm talking about with the they just these guys just don't recover sometimes.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it's if you can't. If you can't figure it out yourself, yeah, that could be a death sentence if you don't do something about
well,
it.
Well, it's so, like, yeah. And it's mental. Like now he's got a, he just, like he said, he's one relationship away from,
yeah. Yeah,
he's from getting happy again. So, but it's that the men's, you can't mess with a man's dick, like mentally, it's not right.
Jeez. That's our everything, baby.
I know.
Well, it's really a expression of, it's weirdly wired into our self systems. Yeah. It's like an expression of self. If that isn't adequate, we feel inadequate.
Well, I think
if we feel inadequate, that is inadequate.
I think I learned it because like the first guy I went out with for a couple of years in high school had like a 10-inch dick, and then I'm
never getting hard again.
I know. And I said it to somebody.
Do you know how long that big 10 inches is?
It was this. I know.
That's ridiculous.
You didn't. I never told you because. Because
you know I'm never.
I know I told somebody else and they got so butthurt about it. Like, oh, well, then how can you be with me? And I was like, come on. It wasn't an easy experience your first time to have that.
Jeez.
I know.
Maybe it just seemed like it because it was first time.
No, it was.
Give us a little out here.
I would tell
Annie
you.
And I need an out.
I would tell you his name, but there were jokes made about him because his dick was so big.
He ended up being a criminal, right?
Well, no, he became an attorney and he did really well. And then I looked him up and found out he had tax evasion and went to jail. But
I thought you were going to say you looked him up and found out he had a 10-inch dick. I'm like, where did you find this information?
There's somebody with testicular cancer, or the cancer spread to my lymph nodes, 4 rounds of chemo, etoposide, cisplatinum. Aside from having half of the pee and cum that I used to have due to this, please don't be silly. I was left symptom-free 3 months after my last treatment. Now, though, I have developed moderate neuropathy in my toes, feet, and fingers. That's from the cisplatinum. My oncologist and PCP have given me a collective shrug of nothing we can do. Which is the cisplatinum is curative many times for the testicular cancer, but it causes neuropathy. They've given you gabapentin, acupuncture, and stim therapies like TENS unit. Neuropathy has started to get in the way of my daily activities, even typing on a keyboard. So I was wondering if you've seen anything work in expediting the healing process and reducing the numbness. Fortunately, I can still come in 4 strokes.
Good for him.
Touch my camera through the fence.
So that's good.
Neuropathy is one of the more frustrating medical problems out there. The numbness is not likely to get better. The pain is mostly, the kind of uncomfortable feeling you get in your limbs. The gabapentin, as good as anything else. There's a couple other medications like that. There's some medicines that sometimes help. Do not get off into opiates. It won't make it better.
Mm-mm.
And it's kind of one of those things you have to kind of live with, hopefully.
At least I don't have that problem.
Neuropathy?
No, opiates.
No. Let's see. Let's quickly
just
another
a good old fashioned alcoholic.
Old fashioned. Good. Annie's cracking up. Another McDonald's drive through fight.
Freaking out over a cheeseburger at McDonald's at 3 in the morning, making everyone fucking wait. You're being a dick, bro.
Until I get my food, they're not letting me pay with card.
They're not letting me pay with card either.
I like the laser he's putting on.
No one's moving.
So then wait in the fucking parking lot. Holy. Fuck you.
You're a bitch.
Okay, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, because you've got to record everything to feel good about your life.
Because you're just being a fucking asshole. Look at the fucking line behind you.
Guess what? I ordered food.
Good thing that's had a gun.
So did all of us. Now no one can order food. Now everyone's fucking sitting and fucking waiting because...
What did you say?
Now everyone's fucking sitting and waiting because of you.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I waited 40 minutes in line. I'm not leaving until I get my food. Just because you record it on your phone doesn't make you cool. Until they take my legal cash payment...
You're fucking EDD.
Oh, I see. He's holding.
Exactly. I'm not leaving. You think you're cool.
He's EDD.
You think you're cool. I get you. You're picked on your whole life. You're bullied. No, I'm not moving until you give me the food that I ordered. I'll pay with card. I have money. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not leaving until you pay me my food.
He's using everybody else's hostage.
You're not allowed to move because I waited.
I can't move is what I can't do.
No, because I waited so long. No,
everyone is punished now.
Everybody is punished.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I know your life is sad. Mm-hmm. I know you probably were hurt growing up. I can see it in your eyes. I know. And it's okay. Like, I accept you. But today, day, I wanted to eat and waited 40 minutes.
I'll follow you.
And waited 40 minutes in that line.
I waited just as long as you did.
I know you did.
I'm behind you.
But guess what? Are you paying card?
I can't pay card. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, but guess what? I was stuck in.
It won't take long.
Yeah, they won't take long. But I get it. You're sad. And you don't really have anything to live for.
Oh, my God.
All you have is to record McDonald's drive-thru lines on your cell phone.
It's bringing joy to us.
It's pretty funny. But your life is sad.
It's like Jack Black.
See, like, my life is great, and I just wanted McDonald's tonight, but you're sad, and you're a eensy-weensy, tiny little man.
Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it.
But you're really, like, what do you do? Like, tech stuff?
No.
Because your car is shitty and it's, like, from, what, like, 1990?
You have a 94 Saab.
Yeah, that's a collector's item. And this is cool, and I'm sure you're
going to go viral.
This is great.
I really hope I do. Dude, please, God, oh. For the love of God, make me viral. This would
they
be
should
tight.
Get him free food. Well,
McDonald's guy freaks out.
Yep.
It'll bring cash back.
No, you know, no cash.
People out there.
But you make us happy.
Anybody who's watching this,
yeah.
Cash is king.
Okay.
I just wanted to pay with my card, and that's okay.
All right.
But you're not as cool as you think you are.
Okay.
What do you play, like World of Warcraft?
No, I don't play games.
What do you play? What do you do?
Not play games.
You just drive like a...
It's a 03 Ford Expedition.
03 Ford Expedition.
Because yeah. I don't want to fuck this car up. Because
you don't
want to fuck
this
my
car.
Other car
it's
up.
Not a car. This is a piece of shit.
It's a big ass SUV.
It's a piece of shit. Don't lie. And
yeah,
you're not doing anything
bucks.
Right.
Wow.
You're a
this
coward
goes,
of a
it's
person.
A lot of,
okay.
I can't
really
believe they...
Do something.
This
like,
is
I
the
really
art of persuasion.
You but you won't. I know you won't. You're a little bitch. And, mm-hmm. like, listen, here's the bottom line. I want my food.
Wow.
I deserve my food.
Does this pay out in some way?
I
tire of this man.
I don't know.
Right, enough.
They should just give him free food. Fuck that.
But,
it's McDonald's. Jeez.
But it's kind of an interesting social commentary, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you think of him? What do you think's going on with that?
Well, it's 3 a.m, so somebody's using something, right? That's sort of usually the case.
Yep.
And I like that he went from totally crazy to being, hey, man, I'm just being reasonable. I know you've had childhood trauma.
That's well, always a fun move. When
and
they
you
try
have a small dick.
Around,
I thought he was going to say you have a small dick. No, I swear to God, but you're a tiny man.
Yeah, of course.
Like he was
thing.
Thinking it. I could see it in his eyes.
Yes,
he was
going to
go, and
thought.
You probably have a small dick. And then he thought, well, I better not say that or I'll get... smacked in the face.
It really is. It's and the fact that he wanted this to go viral. Yep, you got your wish and you brought us great joy, my
where
friend.
Where did you really... find that? Where did they put it?
I think that guy posted it on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy did.
The guy that was filming. Yeah.
How many views did it get?
Went pretty viral.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I wonder
what like a million.
That guy.
I don't know if he got that many, but you know.
Oh my
tens
god.
Of thousands.
Oh my god, he's so funny. He looks like Jack Black too. He kind of
like a young version.
Yeah.
Let's
when
see.
We first met him. oh my God, that was terrible. Like, I would have been so scared. Like, I would have
right.
rolled up the window and been like...
Right, you don't want... That,
but anybody who yells at somebody
I
in a
like
line and doesn't know if they have a gun, like, you know, and that little light was his iPhone.
I know.
It's the iPhone. It's just a thing. It picks up on the light, but it...
Oh, really? It wasn't like a laser pointer?
No,
oh,
no. It's on the... Yeah, it's just a thing.
But it was impressive to me that they could engage that long with him being as unreasonable as he was, with them not breaking into, like, really aggression. That was sort of impressive. So well done, guys.
Like, if somebody wanted to remake it, they could take that little laser thing and then just shoot him in the head and he dies.
And you...
The remake.
Let's go back to that test and talk about the empathy part. We need to go back to that. Let's give us a couple horrible, hilarious.
I mean, come on. It's McDonald's. You pull over to the side and you wait. Let everybody out. Jesus Christ.
Well, the reason he was holding it up is because they wouldn't take his credit card.
The
right.
credit card
right.
machine wasn't
and
working.
Right. He didn't have cash, so he just refused to leave.
Right.
And he stayed in like a 40-minute line until he got up there.
Yeah. And so. He wouldn't let anyone else order
it. Oh, it was a 40-minute line.
It wasn't his credit card, though. It sounded like the credit card machine was down.
Yeah.
Because she said, oh, it'll be up in a minute. And then...
Yeah, but I imagine that must have been posted somewhere, like, we only accept cash right now.
Right.
Or, you know,
right.
It's just like, whatever. They'll figure it out.
I want my burger.
That's the drugs. And wait, there are no other McDonald's around, by the way, or no other fast food places
but
open?
But what's more interesting is how he turned. Like, you watch him go from being all defensive and say, oh, hey,
yeah,
and then reasonable,
funny.
Like,
yeah.
We can talk about this. He figured, well, now, since I'm going to be on a video, I might as well show my good side and be a dick to this guy and make it funny. So he did that, right? Like that was a weird. Instead of them, I thought they were going to start fist fighting.
That's what I thought too. But
it was funny.
I
where the Jack Black came in. I started feeling like, you know, it was a.
That, Eddie?
I was going to say I actually do like, you know, I wouldn't side with the dude that was being a dick, but he might be right that guy was just like a pussy, because I think any other man in that dude's situation would be like, okay. Fuck you. You're going to yell at me this long in my car, at my window?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's not his fault. It's the McDonald's fault.
Yeah, I bet there's going to be a whole line of YouTube on fights in McDonald's lines, because that's got to happen all the time. Yeah.
Already a lane, my
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not, it's not always going to turn out okay.
I know.
Somebody's going to pull out a gun and go, fuck you.
In LA, that's for sure. And,
yeah, LA for sure.
Is there
for
a
sure.
horrible yeah. or hilarious
I'm that motherfucker that's in the line.
Hey, look at this. Oh, we're doing a little snowboarding. Uh-oh. He's just
the camera guy.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Uh-oh, he maybe hurt himself.
Oh,
I thought it was hilarious.
He didn't. What was he on?
Like a scooter.
What is that thing?
I don't know. So we can hold on. It's got a hands like a snowboard with a handle.
You hit pretty hard.
I didn't notice that. Seeing that.
That was time. Me when I was 20.
What didn't you notice?
I didn't notice that it was like that scooter thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Super weird. Like a scooter snowboard.
Yeah. The fuck? Who knows why? But he went too far with the jump, and it just ended up landing on his feet, and that was a big mistake.
That's what. How far up? That's about 6 foot jump, right?
The jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like 60.
That looked way.
He's
more
60
than that.
Feet out there. You know?
Think?
Yeah.
Taller. Yeah. When I was 20, I was tucking it and I hit a 6 foot jump and there was a guy who had just fallen in it, and I pushed my skis out of the way and I hit him in the ribs with my knee and I dislocated my entire leg.
Mm. And that guy last...
It was that high, Drew.
I know.
That's like six feet tall.
Yeah, that's about 6 feet.
That's what it looked like. I flew off of it. Yeah, it's like a scooter thing. But see, he landed on his feet. So
terrible. Ooh, that leg.
He broke his leg.
Yeah, he broke
his dislocated
leg.
It or he
so is that what happened
feet.
To you kind of thing?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That happened to me. My tip went back and I was 20 years old. I was wanted to be a ski racer.
Yeah.
And it caught the tip caught and my leg was like somewhere over here. So it just tore all the ligament and muscle.
Remember the guy
off the
jumping off the car onto the table last week? Similar injury.
So I was laying there
and
they came up, you know, the guys with the basket, what do you call it? The
ski patrol.
They show up and they go in for this guy because he can't breathe, because I got him right in the ribs, but I had missed his head by pushing my skis out of the way because I didn't want to kill him. Mm. I would have gone right through his chest.
That's nice.
And so he couldn't breathe. He had like a bruised rib, and I had 4 hours of surgery. Mm. And I can still walk in high heels, though. I fall down on that knee occasionally.
That's a long surgery for knee surgery.
Yeah, because they put the scar in the back.
Yep.
And I was laying on my face. But that was the end of my skiing career.
You're still a good skier.
And also my hairdressing career.
Because you couldn't stand for long periods of time.
Yeah, I couldn't. So I went into television production and models. Mm-hmm. I started teaching in a model school, and that's how I became the head K-Rock bikini girl.
And more
because of that bad fall. So sometimes when you have a horrible experience like that, it can change your life for the better. Right. And then
good
you
things,
will meet
bad things, who knows?
The man of your dreams.
She's buttering me up today, guys. So TikToks. Oh, wild boars crossing the street. Lots of them. Oh, my God. A lion. A leopard. Oh, my God.
See, that can happen at a McDonald's if you're not looking.
So. Yeah, but Christina's sending she's been spending way too much time with her
That's
kids.
So
we're going to have dinner with her tonight. We got to talk to her. She used to send the most horrible TikToks, and now they're like cat videos.
Well,
and
there's
wildlife.
A good chance that one of those boars did not.
No,
make
I understand,
it.
But still, that she doesn't send the horrible stuff anymore. Zolo, maybe now she does.
Oh my God.
Annie, how do you like
that? Is that his underwear?
Yes. How do I like that?
Yeah, I know you like gas of all types.
Oh, my God.
Super fun. I hope I don't figure this guy's name out.
You think that's a choice? You think that could have stayed inside? No way, man.
Yes. Everything is a choice.
I think I can probably top that one.
Susan has...
You shouldn't.
Susan can do it in the morning. In the morning, she has quite a capacity. quite a capacity.
Yeah. I know,
it's
but
very
that,
impressive.
That
very
was
impressive.
Really disgusting. I'm glad I never taped it.
So what else you got?
But yeah, it wasn't on with you, though.
What? Well, she was like fell
Grandma.
Down the stairs?
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
That
one more time.
Sound good. Oh, he was massaging your piggies?
Yeah, it was Aaron Trudeau.
Oh, it must have been nearby. Grandma.
It sounds like she was on a walker.
That's no good. Yeah, you do hear the metal clanking around. All right, one more.
Oh, that one made me sad.
But before we get started, I just want to make sure I took a shower today, make sure that all of my outside skin is fresh and
clean. Wow.
But I am going to, these are little kind of disposable internal showers. And they come with this liquid in there. It tastes like vinegar or flowers or something like that. But screw that. We don't want that. I rinse it out a couple of times. And then just, I fill it up with some regular tap water.
That's smart.
And that goes where it's supposed to go, and just see the water just come out like that, but inside.
Completely intrigued. Is there more of her somewhere?
Oh my God.
This is all we get is her douche instructions.
She's got some nice boots.
Is that,
where's it supposed to go?
Fake? Is that, do you think that's real or is that enhanced?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. Hmm. Yeah, I'm not good at that.
One more. These are also good.
I know, but what is she washing?
Her vagina.
Oh, okay.
It's a douche. It's a douche nozzle.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, why do we call people douches and not douche nozzles? Because the douche part is just the water part. The douche nozzle is the working end.
I don't know, Drew. That's a good question.
I'll just call people douche nozzles. I don't know. Weird lighting, man. Did you see him at the club last night or the other night? Was he there?
He's
oh my God. Give me one more. I can't stop. One more. I'm addicted.
One, that is wrong. Two, he's been here with me. And three, he was not on his phone last night.
Oh, God.
He don't know you. He don't want you. He only wants me.
Okay.
And do you notice humans, there's something called neurolinguistic processing where humans have subtle messages they send each other. And if you notice how she put her glasses back on.
With her middle finger.
Yes, she's doing this. She's talking to this person.
You don't know me.
Yeah. And whether or not that's just one of those things.
I think she did it on purpose.
But it might, well, or it might have been a subconscious thing. Message.
He did me last night. So.
All right, we'll wrap this show up. Thank you for being a good sport today. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me and getting deep into my psyche.
Yeah,
we feel guilty about drinking.
Yeah, well, we're just reporting the events of the evening.
I didn't fall down.
No, you almost did going down those stairs. I actually felt bad about that. I thought you wanted me to go ahead, and then you had trouble going down the stairs.
I
if you remember that.
I had some more high heels on.
Yes, some really high heels on.
I know, I liked them, though.
They're great. They're great boots. We can't see them here.
We're flat shoes today.
Anything you want to say before we wrap it all up? Any?
I love you guys. You did a great job. Thanks for entertaining me last night.
As Susan put it, it was a field trip. The field trip. It wasn't just an adventure. It was a field trip.
Well, and, we all had fun.
And check out all our live stream shows on drdrew.tv.
Susan produces those.
We're heading into a good season. A lot of fun guests. You can be a part of the show on the live stream, and we really appreciate you following us on YouTube.
Show me your butt so I can slap recreate the magic of last night.
Throw it in the air, Drew.
Here, wait a minute. What was it you did? Here, hold this. Was it?
No, it was like this.
No, you did something.
I didn't know you had all this money. Why didn't you throw
it's
any?
It's not mine.
Oh, okay.
We're at Annie's house. Okay. All right, everybody.
Thank you, Annie, for having fun.
I can't believe you're not going to throw the damn ones.
No, we don't want to make a mess for
throw
you.
Throw the ones. It's my house. All there, right, you
there you go.
There
you go. Better clean up the stuff on the floor, Susan. Come on.
Yeah, pick up those ones.
It's hard for Annie to bend over and collect that stuff. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.